F2A. Number 7B.
This brings us to Hebrews, as science as Christianity. And Hebrews, I said in the study assignment, is a very finely laid out epistle, very delicately laid out, very symmetrically laid out epistle. One does not know who wrote Hebrews. Anyway, it wasn't the Hebrews that wrote it. It led to the Hebrews. And has a purpose really to say, look here, you Hebrews, you were believing in the Old Testament, but now the Old Testament has found really its fulfillment in the Christ idea. That's the purpose of Hebrews, to show that the Hebrews had a law and a way of salvation. The Hebrews too believed in salvation. They were the chosen people, and that they knew naturally that because they were the seed of Abraham, that the promise was on the Hebrew people. They believe it still today, and therefore they are the chosen people, and that there is a way of salvation. And that way of salvation was pointed out clearly in the Old Testament, that there is a way. They knew that, a word. They knew that there is also a high priest, the forerunner of the Christ, a high priest that would be responsible, that the Hebrew nation would be led to salvation. They also had a sanctuary, namely the temple and the inner, the Holy of Holies, and the temple and the outer temple and whatever they was there, the holy places. And they had therefore a holy land, and therefore they had already, so to say, the promise of a Christianity, of a holy land. But what they were missing really was a science that would show them the right interpretation of the word and the Christ and Christianity. Up to that point, they didn't have that interpretation. They had the law as an interpretation. And naturally, whoever wrote Hebrew knew that Christ is the fulfillment of that law. So the law of the Hebrew stood for the fourth side of the holy city as signs, but as we know naturally, it was not a complete, not a perfect science. They had laws. So when one reduces really the teaching of the Jews, of the Old Testament, one can see that they had already some kind of a sense of the foresight of the holy city, but not a pure sense of it. So they had a way of salvation, the word. They had some sort of a savior, namely the holy priest, the high priest, and the forerunner of Christianity, which would be the universal realm and holiness of the universe. They had the holy place already and the holy land. So it was still material, but still that was the doctrine of it. And as a force, they had the interpretation in the law, with all those many hundreds and thousands of little rules and prescription, what they had to do in every phase of their life. So the one who was writing the epistles to the Hebrew, we are trying to overform those four fundamental elements of their doctrine and say, look here, in Christ you have the fulfillment of the Old Testament. But Christ is telling you something higher of these four sides of the holy city. See, already the Jews naturally had Jerusalem, and the temple in Jerusalem, and the city was always a big thing, was always the center of their kingdom, of their realm. And so in the Hebrews, they tell us an overformed sense of these four fundamental facts. So Hebrews tells them the way is not the way that was in the Old Testament. It's a new way, namely the Word of God. It's the Logos. And so presents the Logos as a sevenfold way. You have not the high priest. You have a new high priest. Actually, what I said right was not quite right. They had a high priest, and Hebrews tells we have another high priest. Namely, Christ is the high priest. So instead of having a personal high priest, we have an impersonal high priest, namely the Christ. And instead of having just a limited sanctuary in the temple and a holy land, just limited to Palestine, the new realm is a universal realm, is a universal sanctuary that has no limit. And then as the fourth side, yes, there is a science to it. There is an understanding. Instead of obeying laws that are man-made, we have now an understanding of the signs of God itself. And everybody can understand that. So this is the teaching that is in Hebrews. And you can see again, at that point of science, as Christianity here, Hebrew presents the whole a story of the signs of men again, like in Christianity as signs with the three letters of John, presents again it in the four. That whole epistle to Hebrews is all on the four, and in such a delicate way that it's too delicate, so to say, to teach it, but it is in my epistle book. It is built up in three parts. The first part is very short and gives first an introduction into the four, into the Word, Christ, Christianity, from the level of divine science, right from the top, and shows what the Word is in divine science, what the Christ is in divine science, namely the Christ itself as the Son of God, Son capitalized, that in Christianity says, and the Son has inherited the kingdom of God. You see, that's the new Holy Land, the kingdom of God, that was not restricted to Palestine or to the sanctuary in the temple, but the kingdom of God has been inherited in Christianity. And that high priest is now not only a law, sorry, that the interpretation of the doctrine is not the law, but is a science, and that science is eternal, because the Son of God, the High Priest, the new High Priest, is also eternal. So he gives first a very high sense of the calculus in divine science, as Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. He shows there that at that point, you see, the Son has already sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He hasn't to win first his way to make himself the Son of God. He has sat down already at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But then comes the bigger part that covers many, many chapters, and that second part is really that part which now gives a sense of absolute Christian science, the calculus in absolute Christian science. And only then in the third part, to take it right now, very short part that shows it how that calculus works in the relative sense, or therefore on the level of Christian science. But the main body that constitutes Hebrews is a delicate structure of four by four. And then when he shows the 4x4, which is 16, every time he shows it again in the 4. So you have 4 times 16, 64. So 4 by 4 by 4 is really the whole rhythm that goes through that Hebrews. And I have never seen any other book in the Bible that has that exact symmetrical layout as Hebrew. Whoever wrote that book, nobody knows, but it must have been a mastermind. A mastermind that was absolutely finely trained in the tonality of the four. And if you read Hebrew once and take a study on it, with perhaps together with my epistle book, you see how I pointed out the 4 by 4 by 4. As I said, naturally the main message is that we have now another doctrine than the Jews. And so he gives first, from the absolute sense, the way of salvation as the word. And he presents that whole thing as the word of life and says, don't miss that way. Just be careful that you never miss that chance and the goal. Go that way. Golly, what a thing. You know, do we do that? But again, I come back to the categorical thinking. Are we actually at that point where we always go along that way, along that, just for instance, along the word order? Or are we just picking out something out of the word order and say, well, I'm working now on identity, or I'm working now on fullness or on supply? And you pick out one term, one idea, say, of one synonymous term, and work on that isolated point. That's the old law. That's what the Jews did. The Jews had a whole book of laws that regulated every little detail, that regulated how long the beard has to be, how it has to be cut, and so on, what form it has to have, and so on, every little detail. Well, we are of the same stature if we still stick in that old metaphysical level of thinking where we demonstrate or work with isolated ideas. Instead of doing what? Instead of going along the way of salvation, going along the order, be it the word order, but it must be a whole category, even if it's only a subcategory like the word order. Because only then does something make sense. Only then is something related to the whole. Because everything must be related to the whole. That's the structural sense of things. And see, every detail as a detail that reflects the whole, or it isn't a detail. Every part must reflect the characteristic of the whole, that structure. And so Hebrew shows that. He says, go always the way of life. Don't miss it. Don't miss the goal. Don't miss the job. Then he says, you had a high priest, and that high priest was chosen by men. He's not from God. But we have another high priest. We have the Christ as a high priest. He comes from God. He's chosen by God. And everybody is chosen by God or is not good enough. So the Old Testament was always from men. And these men were laying down the laws. And he said, we have a new high priest. A high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, without father, without mother, a spiritual idea is our high priest. The Christ idea itself is telling us what to do, is guiding us. And so he said, we have a new sanctuary, Christianity, absolute new sanctuary, namely a heavenly sanctuary that is eternal and that is real. Whereas your sanctuary, Hebrews, what was your sanctuary? Your sanctuary was the old tabernacle. It was made by hands, not by God. It was made by human hands. It is earthly. It is a temple built by people. It's only a copy and a symbol of the reality. That's what he told them. He said, your sanctuary is too limited, it's too human. But your sanctuary is much, much bigger than that. It's the kingdom of God. That's now the realm. Can you hear the Christianity sense? Always when we have a realm sense, in which realm we dwell, then we have a sense of Christianity. And finally, it tells them that we need signs, or else we will not have a perfect meaning. But he tells them, you know, man has an eternal being. Man is not something that has to be created. Man is not something that has to find his way to the day of rest. He existed since time immemorial. He existed in the realm of the pre-stabilized harmony. Before Abraham was, I am. That's not the quote from Hebrew, but that's the tone he gives there, to show the people that man has always existed, that the beingness of man is something that was since time immemorial. And so he gives this quite new aspect of the fundamentals on which the Hebrew relied in the Old Testament. These are the four great pillars in that epistle. And every time he depicts that one of those four pillars, he shows them through the reflection of the four. And always then, when he reflects it through the four, he gives then a more human aspect of the four. Every time he takes one of these pillars, he proves really his thesis by saying, look here. Now I go through the four in a relative sense. He says, look here, the Word has revealed that. We have the Word of Revelation, and it has been revealed to us, and we know it. And the second pillar is always, and it has revealed, and we know it is a true revelation, and not just a nice little inspiration or subconscious coming up to the conscious. We know that it's a revelation because Jesus showed that that way can be trodden. He proved humanly in the human as a way shower. Now Jesus as a way shower has shown that his way of salvation is right because he proved it. And then he comes to Christianity and says, and you know, Jesus taught us that all men can do what he did. That it isn't something specific to Jesus, but that it is something that applies to all men. All men can follow Jesus. So it is open to everybody. Whereas in the Old Testament, it was only open to the high priest and to the priests and to the Levites and so on, and all the rest were excluded. And finally, he gives the relative sense of the true eternal being and says, look here, and all this you can have if you accept a new faith, if you accept a new doctrine, if you accept science. You can have that. So every time when he defines one of these main pillars, he says, this is not highfalutin theory. It has all been proved. Has been proved because it was a revelation that came to, because it was a revelation from God that Jesus showed as the way shower that it is true because he trod the way, and he was teaching third that everybody can go that way, that it is not exclusive but inclusive, universal, and everybody can go the way. But the presupposition is that you understand it, that you follow it, that you accept the new doctrine. That is the prerequisite. And without this new faith, you cannot do it. With your old faith, you cannot, or with your old doctrine, you cannot do it. And so he presented that whole four by four by four explanation of the new fourfold calculus. It's quite a terrific epistle. Yes, that's Hebrew. Again, what have we seen? We have seen when we did the three letters of John, that was Christianity as science. Hebrew is science as Christianity. So they have something in common. Can you see? What is that which they have in common? John was teaching man is a calculus of ideas. John was teaching always the four, we said. He was always teaching what is fundamental to your being is that you understand the Word and the Christ and Christianity and science. Those four. And Hebrew, on a higher level, now shows that if you understand this science, the Word, Christ, Christianity and science, if you understand this science, that will lead you to the day of rest, Christianity. That alone will be that which leads you to the day of rest. There must be for the people of God a day of rest. And shows us that it is through the four. These two are the only one in all the 16 epistles that use the four. That use the four. Christianity, science, and science, Christianity, is the four. It is as if they would already have felt what Mrs. Eddy could see, that her job was to wed Christianity to science and science to Christianity, to wed religion to science and science to religion, and that Mrs. Eddy did it through the 4x4, namely through the textbook. The textbook unites all Christianity to science. And so she used the same method, a 4x4, which really should give us also a clue for our instruction, for our life, that it says that day of rest is actually something that we can achieve if our consciousness is not only going along the way of salvation, which is the 7, but if we go further to the second main category, and culture much more the 4x4, or at least the 4 as a calculus of being. That's what I wanted to do this week, you see, because also Christianity as a whole here is a 4x4 matrix, and not the 7x7 matrix. It's a 4x4, which means we must have a cultured sense of process thinking, because the calculus is a process. And it demands that we have not a static thinking, which usually we have. We have a static thinking when we take one fact and consider that one fact as what it is. We take the fact of supply, say, what is supply? And we have a static way of thinking about supply. Say, well, what means supply, what is in God's view supply, and so on. But it's a static, has no process in it. And that is our traditional thinking that we have had up to now, the static thinking. Whereas a calculus is a process thinking. A calculus always is a flow thinking. And so we must be culturing ourselves much more in the flow, be it the flow of the sevenfold order of the synonyms, or be it the flow of the four sides of the holy city, or be it the flow through up and down the four levels. It must be a flowing sense, a process sense. And that's what Hebrew also tells us. Then we come to the last, to Jude, to a science as science. And here, really, he shows what that day of rest then really will be. Namely, that in that day of rest, man is kept by God from falling. See, here, for the first time, he showed that man cannot fall. Up to that point, it was always shown, from where does man come from? It comes from the Word, through the Christ, to Christianity. if it comes from God through the Christ to Christianity, that man is perfect. Therefore, he saw in the Christianity vertical how we gain that perfect man. And now, in the science vertical, it shows at the end, well, you don't have to gain the perfect man, because God keeps man from falling. So he is always in the pre-stabilized realm of harmony, where he has never fallen. And if man has never fallen, he has not to regain his sonship. Can you see the pinnacle of it? Which says in Jude, well, that chose the godly man against the ungodly man, which means the scientific man against the unscientific man, and that the godly man is kept in God from falling. Through faith, man is kept by God from falling. That's his main sentence, so to say, in that short term, just showing the difference between the godly and the ungodly, and that therefore the ungodly never can gain the day of rest, whereas the godly, he is kept in God from falling. He cannot fall. And so we are brought back right to our origin, right back to where the idea of man was always in God. And therefore at that point really we could overform that whole Christianity matrix into divine science and say, well, after all, man was always in God, and he never departed from God, he never fell away from harmony, and therefore he has never to go back to harmony. And so you get the climax of the Christianity matrix. Isn't that terrific? Yeah.